Hello and welcome to Matchsticks and Microphones. This is for the week of February 1st, 2011. I am your host, Justin Azevedo. I'm on Twitter at AzevedoJ, AzevedoJ, and on the fourthlineblog.com. Who's with me tonight?
Hi, I'm Haley from Matchsticks and Gasoline. He's face on Twitter.
Hey, I'm Eric. I'm on the fourthlineblog.com. I'm on Matchsticks and Gasoline, and my Twitter is fourthlineblog.
I'm Ryan Lambert from Puck Daddy and Flames Nation, and I am on Twitter at @TwoLinePass.
I'm Mike from Hit the Post, and I guess we do have a Twitter. It's Twitter/HitThePost. So there you go.
So, yes, good show tonight, just after the Flames' big win over the Nashville Predators there in the shootout. Obviously, same basic format as last week, and let's get right into it, shall we?
The smoke!
So we start off with the smoke. St. Louis was the first game last week on the 26th of January. Big 4-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. Anybody got anything to say about that?
It was definitely one of those games where things kind of went Calgary's way because they didn't necessarily play their best game. But depending on which point of view you're coming from, I guess it was still good to have the win.
I kind of wonder what's happening with the Blues. I mean, just like they start off the season so strong and you look at them now and they're just... I mean, you know, even when they
everyone's
get, you know,
hurt.
Best. Yeah, that's the problem is that you got guys like TJ Oshie going
hurt,
down.
But you know, Oshie's back.
But
you know, Jackman's back. They're still losing.
What was the record for?
Did Oshie even play in that game though? I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Oshie.
No, I
yeah,
guess he did.
I think so.
Oshie did play in that game. But like, what was the Blues' record without Oshie? Like, were they like somewhere like, probably around 350 or 360?
Yeah, I'm sure they were absolutely terrible without him.
Like, you dig yourself that deep a hole, obviously, we've seen with the Flames this year, and it's pretty tough to get out of. And Oshie is a critical player on that team, and he's a really good player. And, like, you have the volume of injuries that you have with the St. Louis Blues, and it just kind of all goes downhill.
And also, I think probably Halak isn't quite living up to the lofty expectations he's kind of set for himself with that run in Montreal.
What do you mean he can't be clutch every single game?
it's kind of hard to win behind a defense that is, you know,
Eric
like
Brewer.
Eric Johnson's played all the games or most of them anyway, and then the only other guy I think that probably has is like Eric Brewer.
Yeah,
and you don't want that to be your foundation, no matter how good Eric Johnson is, you know, going to be or whatever.
I think we can all agree that Eric Brewer probably the least spectacular captain in the league.
I'm going to tell a story just because I don't have any of my own stories, but I'm going to tell one of WI's stories. So basically, she tells me that when you go to a game in St. Louis, everybody's got Oshie captain jerseys on.
A la her Gio.
Like the Gio jersey?
Like the Gio captain.
That thing's the bane of my existence.
So I guess that kind of says what they think of their captain there, right? So.
I don't know. He's
always injured.
I have no idea how he made the Olympic team in 02. Like, there must have been. Like, were we really.
Forgot about that.
Was our defensive talent that year really that little that we had to have Eric Brewer on a number five spot? Because I think there might even been somebody worse than him on that team. But yes, with the All-Star break this week, we move on to the game that just happened right now against Nashville in Nashville. And as you said, WI's at the game and big shootout win, 3-2. And depending on what happens in the San Jose game later on tonight, could vault the Flames into a playoff spot. Anybody got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I didn't see one second of it because the center ice feed was the Nashville feed. And they took the high definition feed of it and compressed it to standard definition so that like it had the black bars on the top and sides. And it was probably in like a 13x9, like little box inside of my 40-inch television. So I couldn't see what was happening at all. It was crazy. And it looked awful beyond that. So I have nothing to say about this game except that I'm mad that they won.
I mean, you can obviously tell the NHL hiring the best people in the business when it comes to technical support.
Yeah, we were having some problems with the game center feed tonight as well.
So obviously this week, just with the All-Star break, only the two games, very long period of rest for the guys, which is good. I mean, you always got those scrapes and bruises and stuff. You just want to heal up and then only take a couple days, and they did. Obviously tonight looked a little bit slow coming out in the first period.
This game was brutal. I'm gonna be honest. It was just, we had some great moments and that's what won us the game. But I mean, there's a period of time for about half of the first period and a good majority of the second period where we had nothing happening offensively. It was almost embarrassing to watch. It was just, it was one of those games where it was just like the Flames were just not there offensively, and it was just so painful. And it was one of those reasons where you just look at that and you're like, this is not really a playoff team. You know, when you're relying on Stajan and Sarich to score your goals, that's a bad foundation for a team.
Well, to be fair, Sarich's goal was mostly Tanga with that seeing eye pass out of the back of his head in the corner, and Sarich just kind of jumped up there, so I would give most of the credit to Tanga on that one. But yeah, Stajan definitely been disappointing since coming over from Toronto in that big trade with Phaneuf, which actually a year ago yesterday that happened. So, but All-Star, as I mentioned, the All-Star break was between the two games. Anybody end up catching the game, or even just the draft or the skills competition?
The fact that there was no Flames players just kind of put a bit of a damper on it for me. I mean, like, I know there's not really a lot of people to choose from after Iginla, but you're supposed to have a representative from every team, and I would have been a lot more excited to watch it if they had, probably.
There's literally nobody worth sending to that. So,
yeah.
I mean, who seriously, are you going to send Alex Tanguy? Like, there's just nobody. Let's send Tim Jackman.
I'm fine with that. Mike probably likes that idea.
You know what? More than anyone else.
I like Jackman, but there's no fighting there, right? So I don't know if it'd be that interesting.
What are you saying? Jackman's a one-dimensional player? That's all he does is fight?
No, I'm just saying that it would be hard for him to earn his Gordie Howe hat.
That guy's got hands around the net. Hands around the net, Timmy Jackman.
The problem with saying any other flame to that is we would have left the game with the knowledge that whoever we sent was worse than Phil Kessel.
I wouldn't be surprised if they got drafted ahead of him, though, because everybody saw Ovechkin taking that picture of him just sitting by himself. Like, they cut over to Ovechkin, and there's just this massive smile. He's got the BlackBerry out, taking a photo. Kessel all by himself in the folding chairs. Oh, that's hilarious, because I despise Phil Kessel. So I think that was absolutely hilarious. But I also did catch the skills competition, and I mean, there was a couple of fun things in there that you don't really get in other leagues, like especially with the NFL and NBA not having them, but or at least the skills competitions, is that you have things like the fastest skater and you have things like the hardest shot. And the goaltenders going was for the fastest skater. I actually quite enjoyed that just because Cam Ward looked like he was dogging it the entire time, and somehow he still beats Tim Thomas because Tim Thomas takes this ridiculous spill into the corner. And then you got the
Tim Thomas is also 50 years old.
Yeah, there's that.
Let's
there's
be
that
honest
too.
Here.
He's almost
poor son of a bitch.
I'm pretty sure he is actually either 1 year or the same age as Steos. So we're lucky he didn't break his hip going when he fell into the boards there. So there was that, and then the hardest shot competition, Char breaking his own record from 2 years ago, I think he said that, 105.9, and
yep.
That's pretty fucking ridiculous. Like,
it's kind of cheating when you use a 7 foot long stick, though, isn't it?
Not necessarily, because I guarantee that stick's probably like a 140 flex.
Really, he should be competing with Tiger Woods or something like that.
Well, you think Tiger Woods is going to come up there and blast the slap shot 105.9?
He's got the head speed.
In more ways than one. Or was that?
Oh, that's a good Leno joke.
Yeah. Ooh. So, unless anybody else has anything to anything to say about the All-Star game,
I think it was fun this year. I honestly do. I think the draft really helped it out a lot in terms of guys occasionally playing like they cared.
If that's it, we'll move on to our second segment,
the bonfire.
So we move to the bonfire now, and this week I had a little bit of a challenge coming up with the topic, but eventually something did pop into my head, and it was one player that you would like to take off the Flames roster and one player you'd like to put on the Flames roster. Obviously, the player you're putting on has to be realistic, so you can't say, oh, I want to trade Kotalik for Sidney Crosby. The player that you're taking off, and just to make it a little bit more difficult for you guys, it can't be Steos, Jokinen, or Kotalik. So maybe take
Well, Kotalik's technically not on the roster at the moment.
That's a good point, but he's still...
Steos is technically injured.
Okay, well, let's make that then. Out of the 50 contracts that the Flames have available, it can't be Kotalik, Steos, or Jokinen. How does that sound? Sounds good?
Chris okay. Chucko.
This is going to be a lot easier than I thought. So it sounds like, Haley, you've already got your first player.
I don't know if that's my serious answer, but now I'm on the spot. Jeez. I'd want to say Corey Sarich that he scored tonight, so maybe
really.
I'll go with Matt Stajan, I guess.
Ooh, Matt Stajan, then.
Besides tonight, he hasn't been very productive. I mean, I know he has, like, decent-looking underlying numbers, but... really, you're paying him $3.5 million to score 4 goals so far. It's like a bit of a higher rate than what Kotalik has produced so far this season.
So we got Stajan, and would you want him to go through waivers? Would you try and buy him out, or would you try and trade him for a pick or whatever of
value?
Try
and move him. Oh, no. Yeah, definitely try and move him, I think.
So I just think that his value is probably going to be diminished based on, the 4 goals that he's got this year and his massive salary. Mm-hmm. I mean, people aren't looking, or at least NHL GMs for the most part, aren't looking at that underlying number. So I wouldn't be surprised if
the optimal
return for him was probably a second round draft pick, or maybe a third and a middling prospect.
Oh, you have teams that are decimated with injuries, like maybe St. Louis or Nashville or someone like that. Could be kind of desperate around the deadline. You never know, but.
I mean, Nashville looking for a guy to pick up with Lombardi still out with that concussion. So, yeah, maybe Stahl fits right in there. Maybe there's the second line or whatever. I'm not sure who they have as their second line centerman. But, maybe you got something like that. And he fits right in there. And they might be able to, or they might be willing to give up a little bit more just because they are desperate.
Yeah, it's possible. As for who they would get back, it would have to be probably a center of some sort to replace him. But. Unless you want to move Backlund up. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody to replace the person you're taking off. It's just somebody that you would like on the team that you think that, the Flames have the assets to get. Eric, what would your guy being taken off be? Or who would that be?
That would be, if I were taking somebody off the team, it would be Regier. And the reason being is when you're moving a player, you want to get value for who you're moving. I mean, it's one thing if it's like, Kotelik or Seos, and you just put them through waivers and somebody claims them, it's just good riddance. But if you're like actively trying to get like move somebody, you want to get value back to them. You know, trading Stajan for a third or a middling prospect, you're not getting value for him because his value is not in his numbers. His value is in the competition he plays and so on and so forth. That direction.
The ability to play 28 minutes a night against the best guys and still be able to shut them down with regularity.
Yeah. But I mean, like, Stajan, you're not going to get value for Stajan. For Regier, you are. You're going to get, GMs recognize that name and his capabilities and who he can play against, what he contributes, what he brings to a team. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The Flames might make the playoffs, but they're not a playoff team. Everyone loves playing at the Philadelphia Flyers last year and say, look, you can slip in at the 8th seed in the last game of the season and go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, if you're the Philadelphia Flyers with one of the best, most stacked lineups in the league. That lineup is so completely different from who the Flames are putting on the ice, it's absurd. Don't try and tell me that the Flames are, they need their quality players for a Stanley Cup run, because that's absolute crap. What you need to do, you can get value for gear. You can get a first round and a blue chip prospect for Regier because A, it's a manageable cap hit, and B, GMs know what he is capable of and who he is. And that's really what moving a player comes down to is, can you get the value? And the value for him is high, and it is something that is obtainable.
Agreed on the Philadelphia comparable there with the Flames just before we move on is that, you look at their team this year with minimal turnover and even losing one of the best players in Gagne, and they're still where they are. I think it's in second in the East. So, yeah, I don't think the Flames have that ability to, draft some guy randomly in the 15 or 16 spot and then be able to finish first place next year. So it's a very good point brought up by you, and excellent choice with the Regier, and you explained it quite well. But, Ryan, we move on to you.
I'm going to use the sports talk radio term here and say he stole my thunder with that one. But I was going to pick Mika Kiprusoff for pretty much the same reason.
Based on the value that he can get back and the perceived value around the league and what he can be traded for.
Correct. And I don't think that I touched on this last week probably, but I don't think you need an elite level goaltender to make a good playoff run or indeed win a Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying certainly that the Flames are in anything like a position to do either of those things.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that was going to be my question is that, you make that point about not needing to have an elite goaltender to make a Stanley Cup run. And the examples that we've had over the past years, especially with Philadelphia and with Chicago, is that those teams are, the players are in front of the goaltenders are exceptional, and the Flames just don't have that depth. So, yes.
Yeah, no. And, I mean, I've obviously long been advocating for a rebuild anyway, so let's get her going, I guess.
Mike?
Somebody we get rid of? Yeah. I think I probably would have gone with Stajan, but I'm going to change my mind just to be different and to completely annoy Justin.
Oh, you motherfucker.
So
I already know what's coming.
So maybe I'd make a similar case if we're going to start with the elite three players on the team, and maybe I'll make the case for getting rid of Jerome. I mean, really.
Good work. There you go.
You know, I mean, really, he's a great player. He's been an amazing asset for the Calgary Flames for his entire career, right? But at this point, you know, that's $7 million worth of cap space. That's, you know, he's definitely aging and probably on the back side of his career. And there's bound to be a team, similar to the argument with Stajan, there's bound to be a team that's on a run or looking to improve late in the season, and maybe they'll take Iginla on. So I think we could probably get something back for him. Maybe he wants to go to a team that has a real run at the Cup this year.
I don't think he's waving his no-trade clause to go to a team that's not serious contender for the Cup.
It seems unlikely, but everybody we've talked about has a no-trade, right?
So. Exactly. But see, and not necessarily the no-trade being there. It's just that, you know, most teams that are in the run for the Cup, they can't really absorb a $7 million salary. And then that puts the Flames.
Well, they don't have to.
Well,
they don't have to. So they have to absorb $1.26 million for the rest of the season. It's prorated throughout the season.
It's
at this point, they don't have to absorb what's remaining of his salary.
It's a little bit
next season where they run into troubles.
It's a little bit more than, I think it's actually closer to $3.1 million prorated for the rest of the season. But I understand what you're saying is that, like, right now the teams have essentially $21 million with the cap space left, or $24 million with the cap space left. That's still a large percentage of the team's cap. So even if that contract is prorated and that's all they have to absorb, there's a lot of teams around the league. Like, you look at LA and you look at what obviously wouldn't be traded to Vancouver, but Vancouver, these guys are really close to the cap as it is. And if they are getting somebody with a percentage cap hit like Jerome has at this point, then they're going to have to be trading salary back. And that's one of the things I think the Flames can't do, is take salary back unless it's a UFA expiring after this year, or it's a RFA that has been guaranteed to a contract or somebody that, you know, they actually want on the team. Or even past that, I mean, you're looking for prospects and picks for Jerome, and that makes it even more difficult if you don't want to take on players with salary, because if you're not taking on players with salary, then you're obviously eating the minimal or the maximum return for players and prospects. But if you do have to take on a guy salary-wise, it might lessen the picks and the prospects that you're getting back.
I don't know. I'm just impressed with the way that Justin is willing to sacrifice Kipper, sacrifice Regier, but going to bat for Iggy.
See, but it's the exact same arguments with those guys. Like, with Kipper and Regier, it's a little bit more manageable just based on their salary and what it is prorated. Like, Jerome has the biggest salary on the team, so it's percentage-wise, it is the most on the cap, right? But with Reggie and Kipper, I think based on their salaries right now and what they are prorated, it would be easier to move them. And for them, I don't think that their return would be as fluctuating as it would be for Iginla. Like, you look around the league or whatever, and people will say, you know, oh, Jerome commands this high return, but everybody has this sense of, like, every team has a different sense of what a high return is, right? Reggie and Kipper pretty much have a level thing. Like, you know, if you're trading Kipper, you're getting a prospect and you're getting a high pick, and that's it. And if you're trading Reggie, you might be getting a bottom six D-man, a prospect, and a mid-round pick, or you're getting a prospect and a high pick. With Jerome, based on what else everybody else needs in the league and what else people can take on via salary, their return for him fluctuates a lot. Like, we just look at the rumors or whatever. Does somebody like Detroit have those kind of assets to give to us? Like, would there be even anything that we would want from them? See, now I've stumped you.
Oh, no. Okay. No, not at all. I'm just letting you complete your rant before you go back home and make out with your Jerome McGinn, like, yeah. Cardboard cutout.
Well, no, it's not a cardboard cutout. It's one of those little McLaren figures or whatever. Like, you know, those plastic things they sell at Fanatic. That's exactly.
I mean, I like Jerome too. But,
I got one of him and one of Tangan, and just play pass with them. I like make a little ball out of a straw or whatever and then play pass with them. It's exactly what I do for 20 of my 24 hours per day. I guess moving on to me now, the player that I would like to take off is actually Glenn Cross, and that's not necessarily a reflection on based on his play, but it's because, first of all, he has a really low salary. Second of all, he's a UFA, and he's probably leaving this year, just based on what I've heard from some people and what I've seen when I do get to have that chance around being around the players is that he's quite unhappy with the situation in here and the way he's being used and not being offered that, not being offered a contract yet, or at least I'm quite sure that he hasn't been offered a contract yet, and I think that pisses him off a little bit. So this guy's probably definitely leaving at the end of the season. He's got value as an excellent penalty killer. He's got value as a 12 to 15 goal scorer, and he's fast. So you move him for a second or third round pick. And plus, no clauses, so it's easy for him to be traded.
How much of his anger do you think was based on dealing with Daryl Sutter?
See, I don't know. It's difficult, but because the people that are still in place, or the people that were in charge at the beginning of the season, aside from Daryl, are still there, right? And I do think that probably a large part of his anger was directed at Daryl, but if I were him, I would see, you know, these people around him now with Feaster and King and stuff, they're still the same guys. So I'm still going to have that vitriol for them. I mean,
he's definitely been in the coach's doghouse a few times this season.
Exactly. And it right now, it doesn't look like Brent is going anywhere. And if I'm Glenn Cross, I'm seeing this, I'm like, you know, Feaster's here. I doubt he's going to be firing the coach. I hate Brent. Why do I want to be here? He's not giving me the chance to succeed I should be having. You know, there's no reason for me to be here. So we move on to the players you would like to add onto the team. And obviously, like I said, realistic, not Crosby and Ovechkin for Kotalik and whatever, Jokinen. God, that fucking guy sucks. So, Haley, you're up first.
Oh, boy. Okay. For the time being, I don't know. I still really like Patrick Sharp. I know there used to be rumors of him getting traded to the Flames, and that obviously never happened, but I'd still like to see that happen if it ever could.
I agree. You would be a first-line center on many other teams in the league if it wasn't for Taves being on the Blackhawks there, blocking him, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he has great underlying numbers, puts up points, and outplays his competition regularly. So, yeah, I mean, you'd obviously be expecting a trade because I think he just signed a pretty long extension last year. So what would you be willing to give up for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if a guy like Regier could fetch that kind of return. It'd probably have to be something bigger. If the Blackhawks would be interested in a goalie, maybe Kiprusoff. I don't know.
Well, the kid they got in there this year, Crawford's been doing pretty well for them. So, yeah, maybe not. I mean, if it was me, I'd probably be offering up maybe.
And they still have Hue to pay.
Yeah. Well, are they paying Hue, or did they get rid of his contract completely when they sent him over to Europe?
Not sure.
I think they have to pay a portion of his contract.
That makes sense.
But I think the like his Swiss team or whatever pays the bulk of whatever deal he signed.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, you probably have somebody like Regier, maybe a second rounder, and a prospect like House or Reinhardt. And then I think if you can get Regier to waive his no trade, and if you can get Sharp to waive his no trade, I think that trade works for both teams.
Oh, we might not want to part with Reinhardt after Eric's post today.
Yeah, his NHL E is pretty high, but I mean, that's something that mm-hmm. teams would be looking at, right? And in terms of top flight prospects,
he is young.
Yeah, in terms of top flight prospects, we don't really have much to give away, right? So you might be sacrificing that one guy for the greater good or whatever. So excellent. So Sharp, let's write that down. Eric.
Oh, man. Honestly, I'd have to say Ryan Clough. I mean, the guy is just a monster on the Sharks. He plays good competition. You know, he's not like sitting up on, you know, on Joe Thornton's line, you know, putting up, you know, easy goals because, you know, Joe Thornton's one of the best centermen in the league. You know, he's a really good player, and he's a really aggressive player. Also, he's big. And it's just he's one of those guys who's got both the size as well as a good amount of skill. And just I hate these words so much, but I really just have to use him here, hockey sense. You know, he's not going to put up these gaudy numbers that you're going to see with, your Ovechkins or Sharps or whatever, but you're going to see, but he's going to put up 60 points in a year, you know, minimum, you know, once he's, you know, at the height of his career. And he's going to do that playing against good players. And he's going to do that playing hard. He's going to do that, you know, while hitting, while, you know, playing defensively well. Him or actually, I'd say I put put a little asterisk there. Him or Ryan Callahan, who I feel like is basically the same player, just in the Eastern Conference. And both guys are just consistently up there in their Fenwick numbers and, you know, their rating numbers. You know, they might not have the gaudiest counting numbers. They might not have, you know, these huge amounts of goals or, you know, points per game or anything, but they're good players, and really that is what a winning team is made up of. You know, there is very rarely you see the teams with the huge, you know, counting numbers players do well. You know, the only really teams you can think about like that do that that have done that recently is Pittsburgh. You know, and that's because Crosby brings so much more than his counting numbers. You know, you look at Washington with Ovechkin, and you know, I've written regs on this, and I've tried to defend the Caps for so long because I'm from the Virginia area originally, and the fact is, there's such a one-dimensional team. You know, you don't want these flashy players. You want players who play a full all-around game, who put up the right amount of points at a reasonable salary, and play all around and do what you need them to do, rather than just, you know, you can have them score a lot of points on the fourth liners. You know, that what you want them to do is outscore the top line. That's why I think Ryan Klopp, Ryan Callahan, those are the guys that, if possible, Flames should target for the team.
What would you be looking to give up for a guy like Ryan Klopp or Ryan Callahan?
I mean, you'd be giving up a decent chunk. I mean, you wouldn't be giving up, you know, the farm for him. But, I mean, for, like, Callahan this year, I mean, you probably have to send off Backlund. You know, somebody like that. You know, somebody of that caliber, either young and developing and getting into something better. Or, you know, maybe we just kind of have this weird gap of bad players with no value and really good players with a lot of value.
We're unlike any other team in the league, I think, in that we are still in a position to be battling for a playoff spot, yet the value of our contracts is just so low, like almost across the board, too.
I guess if I had to say, like, if I was... Okay, well, I mean, ignoring the fact that the GM for the Rangers is Glenn Sather, and I was going to make an offer for Callahan, something reasonable I would say would be maybe Backlund and probably either Ryan House or Max Reinhardt. Neither of them have started their entry-level deals, but they're both putting up good, you know, NHL equivalency numbers in the WHL. You know, they're going to be good values. They're not going to demand a whole lot in their first few years of RFA, you know, if they do turn out. And it looks like they will, you know, based on, you know, they'll at least, you know, at some point make the NHL in some way, shape, or form. And then you have Backlund, who is a good player, and he's going to be develop into a good player. The question is just, you know, how much of that he really does develop into. I think that is what you'd have to offer to get someone like Klopp or Callahan back. And even that might be a little bit short. It's just, it's hard to gauge since it's all, you know, I perceive their values a lot higher than a lot of other people do. But the question is, how high do GMs perceive their values?
Yeah.
And yeah, I really can't say.
Ryan?
I think maybe the better idea than targeting Klopp, who's like 29, or Callahan, who's in his mid-20s, maybe you go after a guy who is a little bit younger and can be had for cheaper. And I think a guy that fits that is Zach Bogosian. He's on the outs in Atlanta. He's been a healthy scratch a lot lately. He was a very high pick. He looked really good in his rookie year. And, you know, who knows? Like, I don't watch enough Thrashers games to know what goes on with him, obviously. But I feel like if he's going to be a healthy scratch in 3, 4, 5 games over the last month or whatever it's been, why not take a flyer on him?
Like, there's been a lot of talk about Bogosian just because, in terms of underlying stats, he is either extremely good or he's just getting murdered by the situations. Like, his own start, I think the last time that Kent was tweeting about this was a 43. So like you look at the plus minus or whatever, like the counting stats, and you're like, wow, he really sucks. But then you look at, wow, he's been starting in the defensive zone 57% of the time. Like he's been thrust into these situations that just, you know, probably are a little bit above his head, as he is a young player, he's still developing, and he's being blamed for it. And I don't think it's fair at all, but that's an excellent choice. And he can probably be had for peanuts at this point, because as you said, healthy scratch or the whatever.
I know it was two or three games in a row at one point for sure. And he only started getting significant minutes again when Enstrom hurt his hand.
Yeah.
So
the cachet of being a first round pick does demand a little bit more than what his value would be otherwise. But I think that is a good player for the Flames to be targeting. And, you know, it might be a good replacement for a guy like Regier in two or three years.
Well, he's never going to be a replacement for Regier. I mean, he's an offensive defenseman.
I'm not necessarily saying, you know, that he would have the same shutdown qualities. I'm just saying a guy that can play the top 3 minutes on the
blue line. he'd be your anchor as opposed to a Regier.
Yeah, exactly. Mike?
Well, I don't know. I'm more of a casual fan. I just don't know enough of these guys in other divisions, right? So it's a little bit tough for me to comment. I mean, the choices that you guys have made sound excellent. I mean, Sharp and Chloe are great players. And then the renovation projects, like, I just don't even know where I would go to find one of those. But but definitely I have a couple ideas, and they're mostly, you know, mostly just off the cuff. One that I know I have to ask for, just because WI'd kill me if I didn't, and that's Nicholas Wallin. I think we need him in Calgary.
What?
I'm not exactly sure why. It's a girl thing.
Yeah. I'm guessing that was Ryan that said what? He's probably so confused.
I think it mostly has to do with abs, Ryan.
Yeah, that and being Swedish.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the only other one that I know is sitting around doing nothing these days and has red hair is Mike Commodore.
A return for the big tomato?
And I think with a couple of tweets tonight, we could probably get him over here.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. He's making 3.8. He can bring some beer over here. And
yeah, if we clear him a spot at the blackjack table, I think he'd be good.
Yeah, so. Bring some of that cash that he loves to throw around his body. God, that picture's so disturbing. But... I mean, yeah, he seems like a pretty good guy to drink a beer with. But I'm surprised.
He's a hell of a nice guy to drink a beer with, as a matter of fact.
He won a cup, right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, in Carolina. And I'm surprised he didn't mention Grant Clitsam that way.
You know, either him or Luca Cunti. Yeah. One or the other.
So that way she can have her full lineup of suggestive names and players she has the hots for. So my guy is Steven Weiss. He does play in the Southeast Division with the Panthers, so his numbers might be inflated a little bit, but look at his underlying numbers. Last year, his Corsi rank on the team was number 3. His zone start rank was number 2 in terms of defensive zone starts. His faceoff percentage, he was a 53 on the faceoff. He had 118 shots and shot 17%, which is probably a little bit high in terms of his true talent, as his 2 years before that were just around 10, but he was able to manage 47 points in 58 games and, you know, not be ridiculously minus on a team that was awful last year. And then this year, just looking at it through 48 games this year, he's got 33 points and, you know, he's still playing the tough competition and he's extremely fast. Like, he knows he's got that good instinct in terms of defensive qualities too. And, you know, being able to accelerate and get to that spot that he needs to be in the back end. Yeah. He has this rare quality like Lanko has, is that when he steps on the ice, he makes his teammates better no matter who he's playing with. Like, that line is better because he's on the ice with them. There's only...
He can be Bork's savior, maybe.
Exactly. And then, so he can have that going. And then his contract, he signed through 2013, $3.1 million. So he's on an extremely valuable contract. Florida still going through some rebuilding. And I think if we made the right offer to them, he probably be had for a little bit less than his market value would be if he wasn't in Florida. Especially because now... GMs around the league kind of think, you know, oh, Southeast Division might not be as strong as the rest, so it might be inflating his numbers a little bit. But you know what? I think if he was to come to the Northwest, he'd probably put up pretty close to the exact same things. He probably would be our first-line center here. And I think put Tang and Gillen with him, and all of a sudden that line has gone from, you know, kind of just dump and chase, and then hopefully the puck gets to the net, to a line that can play both ends of the ice and is good, fast, and they're able to see each other off the ice. In terms of what I would give up for him, that's a little bit more difficult, just because if you're getting a player like Steven Weiss in terms of his age and the type of plays that, or type of game that he plays, you don't want to be giving up anything too critical. Maybe get somebody like Backlund. I'd be willing to give up a first round pick. So you get Backlund, a first round pick, and then maybe a like a John Nygren, and you send that over. I think they'd be willing to do that.
It's kind of funny that Backlund has come up in a lot of the packages.
Well, he's really the only asset that we can that's like young and is able to be moved, right? Like, he's really the only thing we have. He's the only chip that we have to
act. Isn't that the same thing that makes him worth hanging on to at the same time?
Exactly, and that's
is kind of the problem, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, you look at teams like Nashville, and they have so many of those guys that can afford to trade one or even two of them and still be completely fine. But we only have Backlund, and for the foreseeable future, i.e., the next 1 or 2 years. It's only probably going to be him, aside from maybe Brody, but Brody's on defense, and that's a little bit different. So just a quick recap, I guess. Haley, you went with Stajan, T as the guy to get rid of, and Sharp as the guy you would want. Eric, I think you were Regeer, the guy you would want to get rid of, and Chloe or Callahan, the guy you would want. Ryan, you wanted to get rid of Regeer, and the guy you wanted was Zach Bogosian. And then Mike over here, just to piss me off, Aginla, and to make WI happy, Walk Invisible happy. Either Klitsum, Wallin, or Commodore. So I'll probably...
She's not going to be happy with Backlund leaving, though.
No. Well you get three guys in, you got to have one guy out, right? Oh, that was yeah. A lot worse than I wanted it to be.
I was also going to say that I would say the Aginla thing, as much as it's probably not my choice, it's, you know, it's a common discussion these days, right? Yeah. So it's good that we had that as well.
Yeah. And then for me, Glenn Cross out and Stephen Weiss in, but
we'll move on to our next segment.
The Kindling.
This week, we just got three games other than the one we just played tonight at Atlanta on Thursday, 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, which is, I guess, is 5 Mountain, 6 Central, and 7 Eastern for you three. Los Angeles, Saturday, and I think that's going to be on Hockey Night in Canada, so that'll be at 8. And Chicago on Monday at 7:30 Mountain, and that should be an excellent game. Both the Los Angeles and Chicago games are at home, and actually, I think I'm going to the Chicago game, so... That should be good and nice and fun.
I'm looking forward to the LA game. So it's one of the few nationally televised games I will get to watch, assuming there's nothing else on TV. But it's also interesting from, obviously, the standings point of view to see if they can gain some ground more than they already have and put some space between themselves and the rest of the teams down below.
I always like watching the Kings play. I like seeing Anze Kopitar be really good at hockey, and nobody really knows who he is for some horrible reason. These are teams that are very close to the Flames in the standings, them and Chicago. And I think that if we're gonna act like the Flames can and should make the playoffs, then these are the games you have to win against comparable competition in terms of, you know, who guys have played and where they are in the standings and stuff like that. But whether or not I think they can, I guess, is a different story altogether.
Eric?
Yeah, this is kind of what Ryan was saying. You know, they're similar in where they are in the standings and points and wins, but both Chicago and LA are so far and away ahead of the Flames in terms of skill level. It's just, I'm just agreeing with you and just going a little bit farther with it. It's just one of those, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I mean, and maybe I've been wrong all season. Maybe the Flames are actually a good team. But if they are, they need to actually show that by not winning on bounces and the spotty goaltending of the other team.
Fair enough. We'll move on to the Flameouts because Eric said he didn't want them to be called shoutouts, so I called them Flameouts. So, Haley, start with you. You got anything?
Kind of random, I guess. I'm going to the Senators game tomorrow, and they're playing Detroit, and so I'm kind of at a loss for who to support. And
I don't really think
it's kind of like an awkward
nobody stadium collapse.
Yeah, just
stadium collapse.
Hopefully before. Yeah. Hopefully
it's
before.
Kind of an awkward partisan fan type of situation where I'm just kind of like gonna sit on my hands and I don't know.
No, cheers for beers.
There's supposed to be a big snowstorm tomorrow. So.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just get yourself really, really drunk and kicked out. And then you can cheer for the ushers, right? Like, I mean, who cares?
Yeah. All right. Sounds like a plan.
Eric?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. Ryan?
I forgot this was a thing we did, so I also have nothing.
Mike?
I don't know. I'm going to be at the game on Monday there, too. So.
Really?
So, yeah, that should be tons of fun. And it's going to be an exciting week in Flamestown, I think. You know, it'll be interesting to see if we can keep up any of this momentum that we've got going on. So
cross the fingers. Hopefully we will. But yes, I would just like to thank Mike for bringing a couple beers over. Those were nice. And big shout out to the Flames with the big win today. As always, check my stuff on fourthlineblog.com. Haley's at matchsticksandgasoline.com. Ryan at Puck Daddy, Flames Nation, a bunch of other stuff like his own blog, TLP. And Eric also at fourthlineblog. And Mike once in a while contributes to Hit the Post at hitthepost.blogspot.ca.
As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever, you can email us at matchsticksandmicrophones@gmail.com, spelled exactly the way it sounds. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.